Blog Talk Radio.
That you're all staying safe. If you are, you know,
being affected by this weather, these heat waves. And, you know, if we think it's hot now, we'll wait until the Most High starts pouring out those judgments. We haven't seen anything yet. So I probably should not complain, but I surely don't want to go to the lake of fire or hell if this is hot. All right, that being said, I want to remind everyone of the Feast of Trumpets coming up on the 16th of September. We will be celebrating it on that day. I've seen a few camps that are celebrating it on the 15th, on the night of the 15th. We go by the first crescent moon because the new moon you cannot see. And so, you know, once I looked it up and looked at the Enoch calendar, which is the only thing that really mentions or that I found in scripturally that speaks toward this, the Enoch calendar says the new moon or the first moon or the new moon for the month was considered when you're signing for the first time on the moon. And so that would be the first crescent, the day after the new moon, what is on the scientific calendar as the new moon. You can't actually see it. So without, you know, having that scientific, you know, information, then, you know, you would be celebrating the new moon. And I used to do this when I first started. And, you know, I actually had us doing it as well because, you know, science, knowledge increased and they could, you know, predict when the old moon went out and the new moon came in. Problem is, you can't see it, so you could not declare it to be the new moon. But Enoch tells us how to do it, and so that's the way I started, you know, putting it on the calendar. So the night of the 16th of September is when we will be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. I pray that you are all able to attend. It is, you know, the Most High feast days, the holy days, high holy days are very special indeed. And, you know, they tell us about moves that he's going to make, has made, or is going to make in the future. And so, you know, we need to be in observance of them. So 16 September, mark that on your calendar. It is an actual, I believe that's an actual Saturday. Let me look at this real quick. Yeah, that's an actual Saturday. So we'll be celebrating it Saturday evening. I guess some people are celebrating it Friday night, the beginning of Saturday. That will be the beginning of Saturday. But we will be doing it that night. All right, that being said, we want to welcome everybody to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles, and welcome you to the tonight newcomers class. And we are still, this is really still lesson one, Yah's plan of salvation. But it's lesson one, the fifth lesson in lesson one. I'll just put it that way. I have to find a better way to say it. But we are still in Yah's plan of salvation. You know, the Most High knew that man was in trouble, that he was going to have to come up with a way to save man from man's wrath, from the Most High's wrath, man's wrath, from the Most High's wrath. And this is the plan that he put in place. And so that is what we are going over in this. You know, we've been discussing what is sin, you know, and what are, you know, types of, you know, categories of sin, not, you know, specific sins, but the categories of sin that the Most High says, you know, and the nature of sin, depravity, and then what sin causes us to have, you know, the guilt behind our sin, you know, and the problem is when we don't no longer feel guilty behind sinning. But he said that this nature has always been in man from the very beginning. And it's the reason that he destroyed the first, you know, the first planet, or he destroyed the earth by water with the flood because of, you know, man's depravity or his thoughts being continually evil. And then we look at sins of commission, things that we have to do in order to sin. And then we looked at sins of omission, things that we fail to do, that the Most High tells us to do, that we don't do, that he considers to be sin. So if the Most High tells us to do something, we don't do it. That is, if we don't do something and we do it, that's a sin of omission. So we looked at those two types of categories of sin. Then we looked at, you know, start talking about what Messiah came for. And that, you know, in Romans chapter 3, verse 26 or 29, you know, tells us that Messiah came and he died for our sins that are past. Then we looked at, you know, Numbers. And Numbers told us that, 15 told us that the Most High has always forgiven ignorant sin. It is willful sin that he does not forgive. And so under Messiah, he forgives willful sin one time. That's what his grace is. I'm going to have grace. I never forgave willful sin. It was, you know, in my law, I said I would not forgive willful sin. If you sin willfully, then your iniquity shall remain on you. They couldn't bring a sacrifice for that. Under Messiah, he says, okay, now I'm going to offer you grace. You can bring your willful sin one time. After that, we're not supposed to sin again. So we're going to be looking at Messiah's role in salvation on today. Messiah's role in salvation. And we should be finishing up with this lesson on today, I believe. And then next week, we will start with the water baptism and what its purpose is according to the scriptures and why it's necessary. And then after that, we will be looking at the baptism of the Spirit, you know, being baptized in the Ruach. And how to, you know, the scriptures tell us that we are supposed to obtain that, and what, you know, what our heart has to be with the Most High, that, you know, that we need to ask him for this. It's not something that's automatic. And so then that will be those three lessons together. Lesson two will be water baptism. Lesson three, the Holy Spirit being baptized in the Spirit of the Most High. That those two baptisms make up the one baptism. Let's be born of the water and of the Spirit. We cover those in separate lessons. And, you know, tell, you know, show what the scripture says concerning those things. And then we will have the complete plan of salvation, you know, what the plan is, why it was needed, and then how do we get saved. So, and this is, you know, what we should be teaching the world, because there's many doctrines out there. But what do the scriptures say? That's what I always want to go with. What does the scripture say? And I'm very, you know, very literal. Unless it's, you know, clearly something symbolic, okay, then, you know, the scriptures will tell us what that is. Nevertheless, on tonight, we're going to be starting with the question, let me pull this up. We're going to be starting with the importance of Messiah's atoning death and victorious resurrection, because he had to come for us and die on the cross. And so what was the importance of all this to the world and to us as believers? It's critical that we know this and that, you know, he came and he was our example. If he was our example and he was sinless, then we're supposed to be sinless. Okay, and so a lot of the times I think we, you know, in our youth or in our humanity, want to say, well, you know, nobody's perfect, yada, yada, yada. But he says, you know, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. And he says that Messiah came and he was our example. So we are to be like him. And so that's what we're, you know, we should be striving for every day. Anyway, let's go ahead and let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us do our statement of faith. And then we will jump into this lesson. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments. By Elohim, a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on your day, Father, and we lift you up and we magnify you on today, Father. And we bow down and we worship only you. And you alone, Father, for another will we not give our adoration or our worship to you. For you alone are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And Father, we just want you to thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. We look forward to your day when you shall return to the earth, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. In our scripture for today, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? So this is all about our salvation. What shall we do? When you hear the call, what will you do? When you give this testimony to somebody else, what will they do? Will they stiffen their heart? Or will they submit themselves and come to the Most High? All right. The importance of Messiah's atoning death and victorious resurrection. Go to the book of John, chapter 3. Why did Yeshua come into the world? According to the scripture, John chapter 3, verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's why he came, because the world as it was standing in before then, the world itself was in trouble, but even his priesthood was in trouble. And so he said, I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I came but for that, because I needed to straighten out the priesthood first to get them out of eternal hellfire, to open up the doors to salvation and eternal life. To the priesthood first, and then to the rest of the world. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's get verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Yeshua HaMashiach came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We are all sinners, and we all are in or were in need of being saved. And so in that being saved, we're saved from his wrath. Our sin causes us to incur the wrath of the Most High. So we are being saved from his wrath. And that Messiah came into the world to save us from the wrath of the Most High, to save sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim. Now, was Messiah a sinless man? Go to Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let's get verse 15. And a lot of this, as I said, is basic stuff. It's the milk of the word. And it's the stuff that we should be able to give to anyone that asks us and that's looking for salvation. Was Messiah a sinless man? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So if he could be tempted at all points like we are and didn't sin, he's telling us that we should be able to be tempted at all points and yet not sin. Okay, and so we know that sinning is a choice that we make. Now, there are situations where you can get into sin, and the Most High will not count it against you because it may not have been your fault. Something was forced on you, whatever. Okay. And then there's sin that is sin, but he doesn't really hold it against us. He doesn't judge us for it when it's ignorant sin. We still sin, but we didn't know we were doing it. We weren't intentionally doing it. So he doesn't hold us guilty for that. He doesn't impute it against us. Okay, but he will send somebody to tell you, hey, what you're doing is wrong. He won't let you stay in that condition forever. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. For even hereunto were you called, for this reason were you called, because Mashiach also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, being tempted at all points, yet not sinning, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. So to paraphrase this, this word guile, let me get the definition for that. It should be something like guile is usually, when it's in the body, bitterness. So be not bitter. But let me get this definition as it is from the Greek. And we are in Hebrews 4, verse 15. And this word guile from the Greek, let's see, disregard that, 1 Peter. That's the wrong verse. My bad. 1 Peter, chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 21, 23. I just want to look this word up in the Greek that they translated into guile. So this Greek in this word in the Greek is dolos, doilos, D-O-L-O-S, from an obsolete primary verb, delo, probably meaning to decoy, compare, a trick. So in essence, craft, deceit, subtlety. So there was no trickery in him. There was no craftiness in him. Okay. Neither was guile found in his mouth. So he wasn't trying to trick anybody. He wasn't trying to, you know, deceive anybody. When he was reviled, he reviled not. So when people came against him, he didn't come back against them. He only corrected. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. So we are to always commit ourselves back to the Most High. Now, all judgment has been given to Messiah. Scripture tells us that when the judgment comes, the Father won't be judging. It will be Messiah, because he will say, hey, I've been there, and I know what you went through. But I also know whether you took your all and didn't fall into sin or didn't intentionally sin. So he's going to judge righteously. So he was a sinless man, and he didn't, you know, we are to follow after his steps. So we can't be using this excuse that, you know, we're human and we're going to continuously fall. You know, it's one of those things where we are told to be perfect. Be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Messiah was perfect. He was tempted, but he didn't sin. And we're told him that he was our example. And we're to be becoming like him. So we have to intentionally not sin. You know, when we're tempted by something, hey, get thee behind me, Satan. Or, you know, I'm not falling for that. I know what that is, and I'm not falling into that. Why did Christ die on the cross? Why did Mashiach die on the cross? Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. The book of 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to get verses 18 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. And the word of the Most High reads, for Mashiach also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Elohim, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Put to death in the flesh. The body died, but the Spirit could not be killed. And our spirit doesn't die. Okay, you can kill this body, but our spirit itself doesn't die. Suffered once. He's not going to keep going back up on the cross every time we sin. He's not going to say, oh, you know, I died for your sins. But then again, you know, we got the world teaching that he died for our sins forever and ever and ever. And that's not what that scripture means. Okay? It's not what it means. It means that he died for all sin. Well, let me how do I say this? He died for everyone's sin forever, but that sin is conditional, and that forever is the time period for which the offer is open, but each individual has to come to him, confess their sin, and then sin no more. And this is ignorant sin. It's not our sins forever after we come to him. That's not what it's teaching, but that's the way the church has taught it. But it's not what the scripture is saying. He died once for sin. So there doesn't have to be another sacrifice for all generations to come. But within each generation, every person has to come and acknowledge that they're a sinner and their sins are forgiven for them from the day they were born until they come to Messiah. All their sins are forgiven. After that, you are still accountable. And so we have to understand that. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. The spirits in prison are all those that were before the time of Noah. Okay, because the Most High said that there was sin in the world, but it really was not imputed unto men, but he still killed them. Because their thoughts were continually evil. It says, where there is no law, sin is not imputed. So sin was in the world, but it wasn't imputed. It wasn't charged to people. And so it's like you have a child, and it's wrong for the child to do X, but you haven't told the child not to do X yet. Then they do X, whatever that is. And then you want to punish them because they did it, but you hadn't told them about it yet. This is what the Most High is saying. Yeah, I haven't told you guys yet. So I'm not going to impute it against you. But, you know, my nature is if something is evil, I destroy it. And so he spent those 3 days and nights going back to preach to the spirits that were in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering Elohim waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. So while Messiah was in the tomb, he wasn't just laying there. And by, you know, however the Most High works it, the Most High is not in time. So the times of Noah can still be going on right now. If you're not in time, the Most High can still be in that time, be in the present and be in the future at the same time because he's outside of time. So those 3 days, Messiah went back and preached the gospel to those people. Now, that's on the Most High. But that's why he came and died on the cross. That we might be saved and that there was an atonement for sin. What was nailed to the cross in our place as a substitute or vicarious? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Messiah also once suffered for sins, that the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Elohim, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So what was nailed to the cross? Our sin, the sins of mankind. And that was in the form, Messiah was, let me get this first, 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's get verse 21. And then we'll come back to this. 2 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him, Mashiach, to be sin for us. So Messiah was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Elohim in him. So the Most High nailed sin to the cross, and nailing Messiah to the cross, condemning sin. He took our place. Because this is what the Most High said that we all deserve. We deserve death, deserve his wrath for disobedience. He says, but I'm going to take it out on Messiah. I'm going to make him sin. I'm going to take out my wrath on him. Let's go to Isaiah 53. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. I believe that's the chapter we need. And I want verse 10. Isaiah 53 and 10. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased Yah to bruise him. It pleased him to bruise him, to take out his wrath on him. He has sold an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yah shall prosper in his hands. But it pleased Yah to bruise him, to take out his wrath on him for us. And so that's why it's imperative that we believe, that we believe that Messiah came and died for our sins. Because this is the work that the Most High has put in place. I'm going to take out my wrath on him. You believe in what he did and be baptized into his name or into his death. And I'm going to give you credit for death. Okay. But we'll look at that in the baptism. What did he bear on the cross for us? 1 Peter chapter 2. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin, to live unto righteousness. Now, this verse has a lot in it. By whose stripes you were healed. Now, when we go to, when we are in Isaiah 53, it will tell you, by his stripes you are healed. People use that to pray for, you know, healness, for to be healed from sickness and things like that. But he's really talking about healed from your sin sickness. That's what his stripes healed us from, or supposed to heal us, but took our sin and put it on him. Now, our sin gets on him when we proclaim him as our Savior, and we believe that he came and died on the cross or on the tree for us. Sin. We have to acknowledge what he did, and then we have to be buried with him in baptism. Okay, so by his stripes you are healed. He bore our sins on the cross. Romans chapter 4. And verse 25. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. In the word of the Most High read, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So he was delivered from death for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. If we believe in him, then the Most High uses that to justify forgiving our sins. You believe that Messiah came into the world and died for your sins and was raised again? I believe that. Do you repent and turn away from your sin, from sinning? I will. Then I'm going to justify you, because by right I should be killing you. But I'm going to let the death of Messiah take your place. And so you shall receive eternal life through what he did, in him, through what he did. So it's important that we understand this process. We, in and of ourselves, could do nothing to save ourselves. We couldn't sacrifice our own blood. It was tainted. Would not be fit for a sacrifice to pay for the sin that we had done, to pay our debt. So we must accept the death of Messiah and his blood, which was not tainted. And then if we believe that, then he says, now do what I say to do. You don't just get to come and claim me as your savior and keep doing what you're doing. Doesn't work that way. If you love me, keep my commandments. Stop sinning. I came that you might receive life. I came and told you, to correct some things, some understanding that the thing. I came to teach against a lot of the traditions and the commandments of men. They were not my commandments. So men have put some things on people that the Most High hadn't. And men had explained some things to people that were incorrect. And Messiah came to straighten those things out. And so he told Moses, another prophet shall I send, him shall you listen to. He's talking to the people, but he's also talking to the world. Listen to him, because he's going to straighten out some things. By that time, Israel should be well-versed in the law. But remember, when the Most High first got them, he had to teach them his law too. And so Israel, by that time, by the time Messiah came, they should have been well-versed in the law, but they had corrupted some things. And they had replaced a lot of his law with their own commandments and their own doctrines and their own traditions. And a lot of it was undermining the law of the Most High. So Messiah came to straighten that out. And they say, now this is how you enter in. You got to have faith in what I did. And that I came to get you out of this situation. Now don't go back and get back in it. Because see, this is what, I can't speak for anybody else, but that was what I was doing. Before I knew better. So as the Most High had me to start teaching the word and had me to restudying, wait a minute, that's not what you said at all. So we're to acknowledge what he did, that he delivered us from our offenses, and not for us to go back and become offensive again, not knowingly. I see it's a difference. You know, when I saw that, the Most High really distinguishes in ignorant and willful. It's like you have a child, as I said, and they willfully disobey you. You treat it differently than if they didn't know. And that's the way the Most High does. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. What did he bear on the cross? Our sin. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Elohim in him. So we got to know that. He came and he bare our sins on the cross. He delivered us from our offenses, not his own. Our offenses. And then he was raised for our justification, that we might be justified in the Most High, him forgiving us our sins. now offered through the name of Messiah. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. What's offered through this name? Whether you're using Jesus, Yeshua, Yahuwah, what's offered through his name? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, Yahuwah, Mashiach, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this gift of the Holy Ghost is not an automatic thing. It's not automatic. And a lot of churches teach that it is automatic. It wasn't automatic for me. I'll speak for myself. I got baptized in his name, was not told, you know, really truly about true repentance. To say, you know, you're sorry, I'm a sinner, what does that mean? I mean, it was generic. And then when I was caring for the Ruach HaKodesh, I kept thinking about all the stuff that I had to stop doing that I didn't really want to stop doing. And the Most High had to deal with me on that stuff. And I was coming down the stairs in my house here, down the stairs from my bedroom, and I heard a voice say, I will not forever call you. I heard it, and I knew the voice, and I could only say at the time, yes, Lord, I hear you. Changed my whole life, changed my whole understanding, changed my whole, you know, motivation. Because, wait a minute, the Most High is about to reject me? He didn't even have to say that to me. He could have just rejected me. He said, I will not forever call you. And I understood what he was saying, and it became all about him. 1,000%. It wasn't about my business. It wasn't about my family. It was about nobody but him. Because I had to get my heart right with him. I had to want him with everything. So he became the most important thing in my life, period. And when I went to Terry for the Ruach after that, it happened in like 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. Brother laid hands on me. I just began speaking in tongues. And a feeling, this washing out, just like you, I knew that I had been selected and I had been washed out. Just like a washing from the inside out. But let's go to Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts chapter 8. And we're going to drop down to about verse 15, 16, somewhere in there. Start in verse 14. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 14. And I love this chapter and these verses because this is where I see most of the church at. They're not being taught properly concerning receiving the Ruach. And a lot of them are not even taught, you know, that they're not even taught they're supposed to receive the Ruach HaKodesh, not supposed to receive the Spirit of the Most High. And now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that the Samaritans had received the word of Elohim, that they've received the word, they were preached, you know, the word, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now they had all been baptized already. Okay. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus or in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. So it's not an automatic thing. It may be automatic for some people. I have seen that. Their heart is right and they are truly repentant. They can go down, they can receive the Ruach HaKodesh before they even get in the water. Still got to get in the water. Okay? But they had to receive. So it says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. It's what gives us eternal life. The Ruach HaKodesh is how the Most High is going to raise you. Spirit. This one's mine. Okay, it's by his Spirit. So it's important that we receive that we, you know, do the water baptism and that we receive the Ruach HaKodesh and that we really receive it. Don't just take somebody's word for it that, oh, yeah, you got it. You, well, I don't even like to say that word. Oh, yeah, you have him. Okay, this is something that you don't want to take for granted, but you want to know that you know that you know that you know. Because it's by his spirit that he's going to resurrect you. Okay, go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. So you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we just read, it's not an automatic thing. You can be baptized in the name of Messiah, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and not have received. And so it's imperative that people understand that. And it's going to be a matter of and a condition of the heart. That's just what I'm going to say to you as my personal observation in the church and with my own life. It's a condition of your heart. Are you truly repentant? Are you asking the Most High to fill you with his spirit? As he says, if you ask him, he will give it to you. But you've got to be truly repentant. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And the word of the Most High reads, now, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You've got to be saved in the name of Messiah, in his name, whether you call him Jesus or whether you call him Yeshua, whether you call him Yahuwah. It's just in his name to be. You've got to be baptized in his name. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Those are titles held by one being. Even though I know people believe that is three, one being. Titles. Okay? So no matter where you look at in the scriptures, they're going to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus or in the name of Jesus Christ. You're never going to hear them use the formula, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was something that had to be revealed to them. This is the name. And the name is important. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Luke chapter 4, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Where? Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, and that's what he tells us before he comes back. The true gospel of the kingdom has to be preached in his name, in all nations. So he tells you, you know, you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilence. But the last thing he says in the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all nations. It's got to be preached in his name. And people have to be baptized in his name and filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, in his name. So, what's offered is the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. Start all over and be in right standings with the creator of the universe. This is what's being offered to us. So let's talk about how do we receive salvation. Can you do it by work? If you were not to accept Messiah, could you be saved simply by keeping the law? Keeping it perfectly. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let's get verses 8 and 9. 8 and 9, the word of the Most High reads, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Elohim, not of works, No matter how perfectly you keep the law, the statutes, the commandments, the ordinances, that will not give you salvation. Because that would be to, then you could say, I'm good enough. I don't need Messiah. But the Most High, as I explained on last week, the Most High made sure that your very conception was sin. And so, all have sinned. If you came into this world through conception, man and a woman, you were conceived in iniquity. Lest any man should boast. Lest any man should brag. I don't need Messiah. The law perfectly. I do not sin. No, you were born in sin. Okay, so that is not what saves. It is by grace. Now, again, this goes back to, and we have to understand what grace is. Grace is the unmerited favor of Elohim. I'm going to forgive you even though you don't deserve it. I'm going to do it. So I never forgave willful sin. See, the Most High is not an unrighteous Elohim, and he's not unfair. He says, hey, if you're doing something ignorantly, the day you find out about it, confess it. And I'm true and just to forgive you. He's been that way always. That's the way he was with Israel. That's the way he is today. He says, but the soul that sins presumptuously or willfully, his iniquity shall remain upon him. Up until the time Messiah came, those people could not be forgiven because they knew what they were doing and they did it willfully. Now I'm going to extend grace to you and I'm going to forgive you your willful sin through Messiah. One time. It's not a forever ongoing thing. And this is what the church is teaching, that it's an ongoing thing for every person forever and ever and ever, that if you sin willfully, all you got to do is confess it and the Most High will forgive it. That is not what he's saying. He says, under the Old Testament, under the law, I would not forgive you for that. You could not bring a sacrifice and the priest make atonement for that. Your iniquity will remain upon you. Now in Messiah, I'm going to extend grace to you. And I'm going to forgive your willful sin one time. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. One time. Because he said he's not being crucified every time you sin. And the scriptures tell us if you willfully sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice. So I'm going to forgive your willful sin one time when you come to me. When you first come to me, you confess your willful sin, and I'm going to forgive you. Now, after that, I know you don't know everything. If you ignorantly sin, like I've always been, when you learn about it, confess it, and I'm true and just to forgive you. His grace is that he extends forgiveness for willful sin. Now, that's not anything that we got any control over. We got to have faith that he did that. And it's not of ourselves. Yah says, I'm giving to you this as a gift because my law and my nature says that you willfully disobey me, I kill you. I let you die in your sin, and then I'm going to throw you in the lake because you died in your sin. So he extends grace to us, and we have to accept that grace by faith. The Most High knows that I willfully sinned. He forgave me. And then we're not to sin anymore, not knowingly sin. And this is where I believe that the church is failing people immensely. It's just a flat-out lie. Goes against the scriptures that, hey, you just got to confess your sins, no matter if they're willful or ignorant. Just keep confessing them and he'll forgive you. Now, if they're ignorant, he will. But he tells us if they're willful, after you come into the knowledge of the truth, if they're willful, there ain't no sacrifice for that. So we got to understand this and how it works. We don't want to be caught up in that group where he says, Master, didn't we cast out demons in your name and unclean spirits in your name? And didn't we heal people in your name and feed people in your name? Get away from me. I never knew you. You did those things in my name, and my name is powerful, but you were still doing all this other stuff too that I told you not to do. I don't know you. You don't know me. But if you knew me, you would know that, hey, I didn't come here to die for you to keep doing what you were doing. So we got to understand this thing and be able to explain it to people so that they come with the correct expectation. I'm going to come to Messiah. He died for my sins, and I'm so thankful that I have a way to get right with the Most High. And no, I'm not going to keep doing this. When should we seek salvation? When should we seek salvation? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 27. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what's going to happen today. You might not make it through today. So don't think that you should be, if you understand that you need salvation, don't wait and say, well, I got till tomorrow. I can do it tomorrow. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. 7. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek ye Yah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto Yah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. When it says he's abundantly pardoning, it's not that you can keep sinning and he's going to keep forgiving. When you come and ask the Most High for forgiveness, it better be for something that you ignorantly done. Because his nature is, and even in the New Testament, it is not that he's going to continually pardon for willful sin, because he won't. But he abundantly pardoned. Think about how much sin the Most High has forgiven from the time of creation up until the time he comes back. How much sin has he forgiven that he didn't have to forgive? That's a lot of sin, especially if all have sinned. So he can make that claim. He abundantly will pardon. Even in our lives, if we are coming to him correctly and we are not willfully sinning, he will abundantly forgive us as we learn. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of Elohim in vain. Don't receive his grace in vain. How do you receive his grace in vain? By continuing to willfully sin. Then you have received grace in vain for nothing. I gave you a way out, and now you're going to do it again? So what I did for you and what I gave you is for nothing. It's in vain. For we, he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. You notice it don't say now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. So seek salvation now. If you're not saved, if you are saved, then stay in salvation. Don't do anything to make your salvation vain, for nothing. Because if we willfully sin after we have come into the knowledge of that, then our salvation has been for nothing. Grace has been for nothing for us. The extension of grace to us was for nothing. You just threw away that gift. People don't want to hear that. Were you taking away my hope? No, stop sinning. I ain't taking away nothing. I ain't responsible for nobody but me. But the scriptures are teaching us that we can throw our salvation away. We can make it for nothing. We can make the grace of Elohim. We can receive the grace of Elohim in what? Vain. For nothing. Because we cast it away. Going back into our old ways. What cleansed us from all our sins? Chapter 1, verse 7. The book of 1 John, chapter 1, and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, knowledge, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua, HaMashiach, his son, cleansed us from all sin. Now, if you've been clean from all sin, and then you go back and jump back in the puddle, you go back to a dog, you know, to a dog after like its own vomit, and get dirty again, the Most High says, you did that. The Messiah cleansed us from all sin. Can the law of Moses save us? Can the law of Moses save us? Go to Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3. And verse 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Without the law, without the knowledge of the law, then you don't really know what sin is. The law was given to us to show us what sin is. This is what the Most High wants us to do in this situation. This is the behavior that he is expecting. And if we don't do what he says to do, then we are in disobedience and we are in sin. The law gives us the accepted behavior that the Most High says is acceptable to him. So the law in and of itself brings us to the knowledge of sin. Now, because we have the knowledge of sin, do we discard the law? Drop down to verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Yeshua HaMashiach. So we're justified by him, by grace. But after we have been justified, we don't turn around and go and sin by breaking the law. So being keepers of the law, the Most High is not going to let us continue to sin and be just. Let me get another verse here. Romans chapter 6. Get verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The Most High has an abundance of grace. He has so much grace, we can't run him out of it. People are misunderstanding scripture. Shall we say then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, that grace may become greater? Elohim forbid. Elohim forbid that you keep sinning to keep claiming grace. Shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we are supposed to be dead to sin. If you're dead to something, you can't live in it. So if you're dead to smoking weed, you can't continue smoking weed because you're dead to it, as an example. If you're dead to fornicating, then you won't continue to fornicate because you're dead to it. So when he says you're dead to sin, then you know the law. But you don't continue to walk in sin that grace may abound, that grace may become more great. But that's just the Most High dispensing more grace. Yeah, he knew what I was doing. He knew what I did. He understands my heart. He sees my heart. I see you ain't repented of that yet. I see you were convicted, but you didn't stop. You didn't really die to that. You repented. You were sorry for it, but you didn't die to it. I see your heart. You want to stop. But you haven't. And now, but you know it's wrong, but you're still going to do it. Now, I didn't die for that. See, the church is not going to say that. Church is not going to say that. But that's what the scripture is saying. That's what the Most High is saying. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Yeshua HaMashiach were baptized. That means you died to those things. You died to those things that you knew were wrong. That's what repentance means. I'm dying to that. I know that it was wrong. I'm sorry that I did it. I'm confessing that I did it. And I'm dying to it. That's repentance. That's true repentance. I'm not doing that no more. That thing is dead to me. I'm not living in that. Verse 4. Therefore, were you buried with him? You died. Then you got buried into his death. Buried by baptism. Into his death, that like as Mashiach was raised from the dead by the glory of Elohim, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. To die to that sin. Getting drunk and being an alcoholic. We die to that. I'm no longer living in that. I'm not waking up every day looking for a drink. Getting drunk. Making a fool of myself. Doing stuff I ought not do. I died to that. This is what he's talking about. That's true repentance. Okay? And then when we die to it, then we're supposed to be buried. But we're not being, you know, people aren't being, they're not being held to the standard that the Most High wants them held to. That's for sure. It's not being, you know, everybody, I'm human. I got that problem. So, you know, I can't tell you that it's wrong. This is what the Most High wants. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and 1. Okay, let's talk about this verse. Therefore, being justified by faith. No, let's go, I'm sorry, let's start with Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Then we'll come to this. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. I think we read this already. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we read this earlier, and the law does not justify us, but the law identifies sin to us, what sin is, tells us what sin is. 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, believing what Messiah did, we have peace with Elohim through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Master Yeshua HaMashiach. We have peace with him, but we got to have peace with him in what? Truth and in spirit. You can't take a scripture and take the scriptures and justify staying in sin when he tells us that staying in sin won't justify it. If we continue in sin, Elohim forbid. If we willfully sin, hey, there's no blood for that. We can't just ignore those verses. So out the law? No. Does grace cancel out the law? No. It doesn't cancel out the law. Grace cancels out our transgression of the law. But it didn't cancel the law. Two different things. You got a law, you break it, you transgress. Most of that says, okay, I'm going to extend grace and cancel out your transgression. But I'm not canceling my law. And this is what the church has done, has completely nullified the laws of the Most High. See, that faith does that, but faith does not do that. Just a second. Go to Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3. And let's get verse 31. Romans chapter 3, verse 31. The book of Romans chapter 3, verse 31, and the word of the Most High reads. Do we then make void the law through faith? Elohim forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Because when you understand what Messiah did, then you're supposed to, by faith, keep the law. Not by faith, not keep it, but by faith in what he did. Man, Messiah came and he died on the cross for me. He took my sins away. He gave me a clean record with the Most High. I'm not going to go back and sin again. We establish the law. I'm not going to break the law again. We establish the law. But with the way it's being taught today, they have unestablished the law. You ain't up under the law. No, we are supposed to be establishing the law. Because if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to break the law. How is the Spirit of the Most High going to let you allow you to break the law? You have to be directly disobedient against the Spirit of the Most High. Telling you, hey, don't do that. I hear you, but you'll forgive me. No, I won't. Well, I'm going to tell myself you'll forgive me. Okay, you tell yourself whatever you want to hear. When I send your butt to the lake, I don't want to hear no crying. I don't want to hear no complaining. I tried to tell you, don't do it, and you went ahead and did it anyway. So our faith does not void the law. Never has and never will. Our faith is supposed to help us to establish the law. To do it. Why was the law given? Why was the law given? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 17. And the word of the Most High is read. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, why do people think that because Messiah fulfilled the law, that we don't have to? I don't have to do it. He did it already. He fulfilled it. Everyone is supposed to fulfill the law. So that I don't even know what spirit that is. Well, if you keep the law, then I don't have to because you do it. What? Are we not stupid? Are we not blind? I think that spirit is the spirit of non-repentance. I don't have to do the law. I don't have to keep the law because Messiah fulfilled it. I don't have to show up for the game because Messiah showed up for the game. But it was a team sport, and it was 5-1. We ain't got to show up. You showed up. See what they're doing to Messiah. Messiah fulfilled the law, and we must fulfill the law. And I didn't come to destroy it. And I didn't come that I would be the only one to fulfill it either. For what purpose am I coming then? If you ain't got to keep the law, why am I dying? If you can transgress day and night, what purpose is there for me to come? If I'm going to get your record stripped clean and then turn around and say that the law is null and void and you ain't never had to keep it, then what kind of sense does that make? Why am I coming to die for your sins? And what sins have you committed if I'm just going to cancel out the law? Well, don't worry about that. There ain't a law about that no more. Oh, yeah, don't worry about that either. There ain't no law about that either no more. Then I could have just said, hey, there ain't no law about that anymore. Don't worry about it. I ain't got to get up here and die on the cross for that. I mean, we have made Messiah into something that I'm sure he doesn't recognize. I don't even know if he has a name for it. except for being deceived. Makes no sense to me. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, if you still on this earth, if the stars are still above your head, if the sun still rises and the moon still comes up and goes down, one jot and one tittle shall no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. It ain't all been fulfilled yet. He has not established his kingdom on this earth yet. There's still wickedness in this earth. There was wickedness before he came. There's still wickedness now. There are people still being saved. It has not all been fulfilled, but there ain't no law. People tell themselves that stuff because they don't want to be held accountable. They want the Most High to bow to their standard. Most High, you know, in our country, we don't live like that. I'm the king of the earth. My law supersedes your law. Well, Most High scientists said that, you know, somebody could have a mental disorder. My laws and my spirit supersedes your science. See, men just want to stay this way. They don't really want to accept Yah's gift of salvation. They want to stay doing what they were doing. And Yah said, no. It ain't about that. So let's read this again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. All has not been fulfilled yet. Certain parts of it have been fulfilled, but not all of it has been fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least. And, you know, I wish people would just harp on these words. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments. The least of the commandments is one that don't require your life. And shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So a law that is the least doesn't require your life. But what if you're teaching people to break a law that is one of the greater laws or the most important laws, the most grievous laws? Let me just put it this way. What if you're teaching somebody to break a law that requires their life? What do you think you're going to be called in the kingdom of heaven? Because if you're going to be called least in the kingdom for breaking one of the least of the laws, what are you going to think you're going to be called if you break a law that and you teach men to break laws that are giving them death? Till heaven and earth pass away, this law would not be going anywhere. One jot or tittle would not change. Verse 19, verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the they were lawyers. You shall no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if your teacher is teaching you to do something that breaks the law, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, my teacher said that it's okay for me to do this, then your righteousness has to exceed theirs. No, I'm going to keep that because the law says to keep it. The word says to keep it. Well, I'm a lawyer, and I have discerned that this law is not constitutional. It's not biblical. It doesn't go with today. Your righteousness better exceed the righteousness of the lawyers, the Pharisees as well. If it doesn't, it's because your teacher taught you that you don't have to do that. And just because the lawyer said you don't have to do that doesn't mean you don't have to do that. Or if they say you have to do something and you don't. Because remember what Messiah accused them of, and this is still going on today. The doctrine of men, the traditions of men. Not the doctrines of the Most High, not the commandments of the Most High, but the doctrines of men. Oh, it's okay if you're gay. You can get into the kingdom. That is clearly the doctrine of a man or a devil. But you got churches, come on in. God loves everyone. No, God says he loves those that love him. And he says, and if you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. It ain't that hard. If you love me, do what I say do. If you don't love me, don't do what I say do. The Messiah said, how do you say you love me and do not what I say do? Then you worship in me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness. If our teachers are telling us wrong, and we know that it's right, we need to do right. Don't follow men, follow the Most High. Study to show yourself approved. Make sure that you understand what is the commandment and what's not. Wait a minute, is that from the word of the Most High, or is that the doctrine of men? Is that a commandment from the Most High, or is that a tradition of men? Because they'll teach the doctrine and the traditions of men as commandments of the Most High. So you got to know it. Go to Matthew chapter 22. The book of Matthew chapter 22. And let's get verses 37 through 40. The law given. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And the word of the Most High reads, Yeshua said unto him, thou shalt love Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, similar to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, people believe that, hey, if I love my brother as myself, and I love the Most High with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, that's all I got to do. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind if you're not keeping his commandments. But that is his mind. That is his heart. So Most High, yeah, I'm going to love you with everything that I have, all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, from what I want to do. I'm going to do it with all my heart, how I want to do it. Now, I know you said that was a sin, but it ain't a sin in our day. The laws of the land says that I can have desire for a woman and marry her, and I'm a woman. Or I can have desire for another man and marry him, and it's the law of the land. It's okay. Because that's what's in my mind to do. I'm going to do it with all my mind, too. In all my heart, even though it is a doctrine or a tradition of men. Now he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, if you don't find a commandment that says this by itself, love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, then different commandments, and love your neighbor as yourself. He breaks out how to love your neighbor. He breaks out how to love him. Because on these two commandments hang what? All the law. So you got to go get all the law and the prophets to find out how to fulfill those things. Can't do it just on those two commandments. But you got to understand that all the other commandments hang on these. This is the premise for all those commandments. And all those commandments tell you how to do this. All those commandments, the laws of the Most High, tell you how to love him. Tell you how to serve him. Tell you what's acceptable with him and what's not acceptable with him. All the laws about how to treat your fellow man tell you how to love your neighbor. But see, we'll come up with our own definitions of love. This is what love means to me. So this is how I'm going to love the Most High. This is what love means to me. So this is how I'm going to love my neighbor. So the Most High said, that's not what I told you to do. You have employed your own standard, your own tradition. The thing that he told us to stay away from the doctrines of men and the traditions of men. We're going to make up our own doctrine, our own tradition. And then do that with our whole heart. I hope we can hear this. Because this is what people are doing today. Making up their own doctrine. Making up their own tradition. And then saying that they're loving the Most High with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their mind. And saying that they're loving their neighbor as themselves. But he gives us, he says, on these two premises, these two commandments, hang all of the law. So if you understand all the law, they're leading you to love Yah with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind. That's what all those laws are leading you to. If you had to summarize them all, every law, statute, and commandment about the Most High and his judgment tells you that you are to love him with all your heart. How you do it. It actually tells you how to do it. All of his laws and commandments about how you treat your fellow man, and if you're in this situation, this is what you do, and if this situation, this is what you do, how to love your fellow man. By the standard of the Most High, not by your own standard. And so this is what people do. This is what I see people doing today. Yeah, I love you. I love you with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind, the way that I want to love you. Not the way you say you want to be loved. I know you said obey your voice, but y'all don't even know if I hear you. I don't know if you wake me up in the middle of the night and tell me things. I don't even know if your word is true. Men might have altered your word. Then I'm going to love you the way I feel I should love you. And I'm going to do that with my whole heart. And you see my heart. You understand my mind. You know what my desire, my real desire is. Yeah, you know my heart. Yeah, your heart is to do what you want to do. If I didn't come and speak to you, then you should at least have read my word and accepted it as my word and did it. But no, you want to come and make it up in your own mind. Let me move on. Romans chapter 7. Just understand that loving the Most High, which you're all, and loving your neighbor as yourself, all of the law hang on those two principles. All of the law and the prophets hang on those two. You don't throw away the law. The law tells you how to do that. You don't have to make it up. Most I don't want you to make it up. Matter of fact, he said, don't add to how I say to love me and don't take away from how I say to love me. Do exactly what I say and I'll love you and you'll show you love me. Don't add to it or take away from it. Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Sin. The law identifies sin. The law tells us what the Most High wants and what he doesn't want. It identifies sin. But it is not sin. It's when we don't do what the law says. We sin. Yah forbid. Had I not known sin, how? But by the law. For had I not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. So the law tells us what sin is. The law itself is not sin. Let us get another verse here. We don't have to get. What is sin? Hold on a second. Let me put a better search. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the breaking of the law. Sin is not keeping the law. If we keep the law, we don't sin. So the law itself cannot be sin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 through 29. And we're looking at, why was the law given? It was given to us to identify sin. It was given to us to identify transgression. It was given to us to give us the Most High standard. Matthew 22, verse 37. Yeshua said unto him, thou shalt love Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might, thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All right, I've done that. Scroll back up. Let's go to Galatians. I meant to do Galatians 3. 24 through 29. Now, when I hear people talk about this, people believe that the law is done away with. So let's read this. Because of faith, they believe that the law is done away with, that we can serve Yah by our faith. I believe that he is, and I believe that Yeshua came and died for my sin. Verse 23, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. I mean, Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, starting in verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. So once we get faith, people want to believe that we don't require the law. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Your schoolmaster is your teacher to bring us unto Mashiach, that we might be justified by faith. The law being our schoolmaster, our teacher. What you learned in first grade, second grade, to the 12th grade, you still need it in life. When you learn how to speak, you still need to know how to speak in order to communicate with people all your life. The lessons that you learned, you don't just discard them. And this is what people do when they say, well, the law was our schoolmaster. But when faith came, we were no longer under a schoolmaster. Well, when you graduate, you're supposed to graduate to faith. Kept up under the law. You were taught up under the law. And you're supposed to graduate to faith. So you shouldn't have to have the law written down and the law keep teaching you day in and day out what right from wrong. You should be able to do that by faith. And understanding that, hey, I know the law and I know Messiah came and died for me. I believe that he came and died for me. I know this. So I'm going to walk in that and I'm not going to sin anymore. By faith. You didn't have to go look it up in a book. Hey, is that wrong? Is that wrong to do? You should know that if you understand the law. If you know the law, then you definitely should know it. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. We're no longer under the teacher. So we already read the faith canceled out the law. The scripture says Elohim forbid. So the understanding of the scripture is simply this. You know the law and you come to the faith in Messiah. And you should keep the law and establish the law by your faith in him. He died for my sin. And he got my charges wiped away. Now I'm not going to sin anymore by my faith in what he did. And if I find myself doing something that I ought not do, he has said that I can confess it. And he is true and just to forgive me. And I believe it by faith because I believe in what he did. Well, I believe that I ain't up under no law. I can do whatever I want. Because it don't apply to me. I ain't up under the schoolmaster anymore. I'm no longer under the schoolmaster. You shouldn't need to be taught anymore. Once you graduate high school, you shouldn't be taught the stuff that you were taught in high school. If you were paying attention, this is all this verse is saying, but people use it to try to cancel out the law and being up under the law. For you are all children of Elohim by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. For as many as have been baptized into Mashiach have put on Mashiach. If you put him on, then you are supposed to be like him, sinless, not walking in sin, because he didn't sin. And if you put him on, then you're supposed to not walk in sin, not willful sin. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Mashiach. And if you be Mashiach, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did Abraham obey the commandments of the Most High? Hmm. One second. You're the seed of Abraham. I'm not going to be able to find it like that. Let me do it this way. Go to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Seed of Abraham. 1 through 5. Genesis 26, verses 1 through 5. Remember, you're the seed of Abraham. We wanna be that seed of Abraham by faith. We won't believe that all we gotta do is believe. But we ain't gotta obey nothing. And there was a famine in the land, starting in verse 1. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And Yah appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and will bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I have swore, which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy stead, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my laws. Abraham obeyed. The voice of the Most High. Don't go over there, Abraham. He kept my charge. I charge you to circumcise all the men that belong to you, 8 days old and older. He did it. My commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Seed of Abraham, and you don't have to keep no law. According to the church, you're the seed of Abraham, and by faith, you are saved, but you don't have to keep nothing. It is a lie from the pit of hell. It is a lie because people don't read all of the scriptures. They cherry pick. Well, this scripture says exactly how I want to be. I don't want to be up under the law. I don't want to be up under that schoolmaster. I want to serve the Most High out of faith. What faith? Well, you know, as I make it up. Because I don't want to read nothing about no law because I ain't up under no law. And I don't, you know, I'm the seed of Abraham by faith, but Abraham just believed. No, Abraham believed the Most High, and he obeyed, and he kept his commandments. He did what the Most High told him to do. He kept his statutes. If you do those things, then are you Abraham's seed according to the promise. Well, Abraham believed. If I believe, then I'm Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise. That's all I got to do. Abraham was faithful. He kept the commandments. He kept the law. He kept the statutes. He obeyed the Most High. Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans chapter 6. Stopping here for this evening. Romans chapter 6. Verses 3 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 3. Well, let's get verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Elohim forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized in Yeshua HaMashiach were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. It's not saying that you got to physically die, stop breathing, heart stop working, brain dead. No, this is saying that when you die to sin, you are free from sin. And you say, I'm no longer going to do that anymore. You are dead to it. You are freed from it. So to what sins are forgiven when we come to Messiah. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. And we'll stop here for tonight. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. What sins are forgiven when we come to Messiah? Romans 3 and 25, and the word of the Most High reads, Elohim, who has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Let's go back to 24 and get 24 and 25. 25 is an incomplete thought. Romans 3, 24 and 25. Being justified freely by his grace. Remember, grace is his extension to us that I'm going to forgive your willful sin through redemption that is in Yeshua HaMashiach, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin, which sins that are past, not future. And this applies to every generation. When people read this and try to make it a general statement or try to make it a global statement, then they miss what he's saying. Messiah died for your sins individually, that are past. So each generation, each person has to apply this to themselves. Through the forbearance of Elohim, I'm not going to charge you for those willful sins, that's great, that are past. That's when you come to him. That's not your whole life. That's not after you come to him and say, oh, yeah, I know him. He died for my sins. I know what a sin is now. Then you get baptized in him. All your sins up to that, from the day you were born up to that time, are forgiven. Your past sins. After that, you're accountable again. You can't just go and say, well, I'm in Christ, so I can't sin. You can't say I'm in Christ. And my sin won't be charged to me. It's not what he's saying. It's not what he's doing. So he died for our sins that are past in each person's life. Then say, oh, well, you know what? In the past, this was sin. That's what I died for. This is to the individual. Okay? So with that being said, we will pick this up on next week, and we'll start talking about, can good works save us? So we learned that, you know, the law can't save us. The law was given to show us what sin is. The law is not sin itself. It shows us what sin is. It's the schoolmaster. It teaches us what sin is. At some point, need to graduate. You need to graduate to faith, but you don't forget everything that the schoolmaster taught you. And if you're graduating and you never were up under the skirt, then you graduated dumb as hell. Because you're going to say, I'm going to serve Messiah by faith, and you don't even know what the schoolmaster taught to come from under the schoolmaster. You know, I'm not under you anymore. I've graduated. I don't have a need to be taught anymore. Once you know right from wrong, you don't need somebody to continually tell you right from wrong. Once you know the laws of the Most High, you don't need somebody to continually tell you the laws of the Most High. You don't need them to continue to tell you what sin is. You should know. You should graduate. Now I'm going to keep them by faith. I'm going to establish the law by faith in Messiah. That's what the scriptures teach us, that we establish the law by faith. We don't cancel it out. We don't say we're not up under it. I don't need to be taught anymore. I know this is wrong. I know this is right. How do you know? Because the law taught me that. The schoolmaster taught me that. At some point, you need to graduate. Problem is, we got people graduating, never went to class. Just gave themselves a diploma. I'm graduated. Don't know the first thing about what the law said except for, you know, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't really understand the first four commandments because they don't understand that the Most High wants you to obey him and him only. Can't obey him if you don't know what he said. So make it up. Well, I don't know what it says in that book, but this is what God says to me. He said, no, I told you. I taught you. I put you up under, I gave you a schoolmaster to teach you, and I taught you. Now, sometimes, at some point, you need to graduate. You need to graduate from the schoolmaster. You need to graduate from having to be taught the laws of the Most High. Then you can keep the laws by what? Faith. I know what it says. I'm graduating from the schoolmaster, and I'm going to keep his laws. His laws is not being canceled out. Okay, so we'll pick this up on next week about good works. Can they save us? Good works alone. Because you got people who believe, Orthodox Jews, those that don't believe in Messiah, believe that, hey, they can just do the law, keep the law as perfect as they can, and they'll be saved. That discards Messiah. That discards his coming. And even if we do keep the law perfectly, then we deny Messiah. We don't need him. He says you can't do that either. Okay. So we will get into this on next week. And I thought I would be finishing this up. But we still got a little ways to go. A long way to go, actually, in this. Very in-depth, and that I did last week. Must have needed to, but we're going to be starting with, can good work save us? All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. You know, I need to ask, are there any questions on what we read over tonight?
No, sir, but a very good lesson. Thank you.
All right, amen. And some people have hung up already after 7, but if there are any questions or if there are no questions, then may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Hear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom, and see you guys on Thursday. Remember the 16th of September is 16th of September is the Feast of Trumpets.
Okay.
Let me try and put that out. No, 16th. The 17th is the day, but we celebrate it on the 16th.
Okay.
Because that is the beginning of the 17th, the evening. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we will be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets the evening of the 16th. The 17th is a no-work day. So you should be planning your vacations or whatever, you know, with your employer to take off on that day. Because by the scriptures, it is a no-work day. And we don't follow the world. The world doesn't celebrate these things. And if we're going to keep the scriptures, we got to keep them like he says to keep them. All right, that being said, let's roll the credits.
Thank you.
Shalom, brother and sister Miles. Shalom, family.
Shalom, Sister Denise and Sister Mary. Shalom, everyone.
Peace. Shalom.
Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom, Sister Clara.